Hi, good evening and welcome. First of all, Dr. Joan Price-Humphrey, we welcome you again. How are you?
Thank you. I'm wonderful. And how are you?
I'm doing well. And Einstein Clark, let me say good evening to you as well.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Great. And I think also on the line we have Crystal J. How are you doing this evening, right?
And I am doing well. How are you?
I'm fine. And the man of the moment, John Yar, joins us now. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Larry. What about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Well, I am going to throw the ball to John, first of all. This whole question of children's mental health is, I'm sure, a real challenge all year round, but particularly at a time like this, when some children find the lockdown situation very difficult, I imagine it can be challenging.
Yeah, I can actually speak from the position of being a new father, where I have a 10-month-old baby.
Congrats to you.
And I've been so curious as to what is going through his mind. And at 10 months, I see that state of excitement when both parents are at home. Unfortunately, both my wife and I are fortunately, we serve during this time when we are on the front line. She as a doctor, myself in media. And I can't help but imagine what about those children whose parents are on the front line, and that state of frustration, of fear that they may be experiencing right now, not just being at home and just the whole issue of school and studies and so on, but my heart has been pondering about those children who have parents who are on the front line right now, and what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and how they're coping and managing this. Because I see from my 10-month-old how he is excited when we come back home, but he doesn't have a care in the world.
I can tell you at that age, the best
he doesn't have a care
be.
In the world. But I've been wondering, what about those children? And I'm wondering, good evening to our panel. I've been wondering, what about those children who are right there in the midst of this? They're not on the front line, but their parents are. I've been wondering about how they're coping, how can they cope, what do we look for in them to identify if they're stressed. My mind is just filled with thoughts concerning them.
Dr. June, can you help us?
Yes, I do have a son. I have two sons, sorry. And it is very different based on their personality, but also based on how we as the adults respond. So he mentioned that he had a 10-month-old, and the 10-month-old doesn't have a care in the world, but that's probably because you and your wife may be modeling calmness and being in control of the situation and having your family prepared. But even at those very young ages, if the family is very disrupted, so the parents are anxious,
so
they can feed off of that, and you will find that the child may be irritable or crying a lot.
Doc, am I hearing you say that at 10 months, that young baby will recognize and dare say almost model, not behaviors, but model that sense of security or that sense of fear?
Well, recognize may be a strong word, because at a very young age, a child doesn't know what they're feeling.
Okay.
But they will know it's not a nice feeling. They will know there's tension. They will know that when mommy or daddy picks them up, it doesn't feel quite as comforting as it did before, because the parent tension will come through. And so you may sometimes find parents say, all of a sudden, now the child is crying all the time, or acting out, or regressing in some way. And we would find that happening if the adults in the household, but especially the primary caregivers, are also distressed.
Yes.
On the other hand, if the parents or the primary caregivers are coping with the situation, so back again, you know the child doesn't recognize what's happening, but as far as the child is concerned, nothing has changed. Mommy and daddy are home a lot. I can get to play.
No,
they're interacting with me. Maybe sometimes they say no or yes, but if the household can remain stable at a very young age, the child will feed off of that stability or instability as may occur.
Psychologists.
So I'm just bringing that up because you said your child was so young.
Right. I want to bring in psychologist Einstein Clark here, and so she can share her thoughts initially on how we can help parents then who may be challenged at this time.
Hey, what I would say first is that we need to recognize that children do indeed experience stress. I find that among a lot of people here in our society that we don't think that children can feel stressed. So what I would say is first to recognize that this is a pandemic. This is a difficult time for everyone who's involved, including our children. Once we are able to recognize that, we should be looking for any changes in their behavior. When this time is difficult, like I said, for everyone, there's a lot of changes and stress can be experienced, whether they're positive or negative changes. So with all of this being said, hold on, I'm hearing some feedback. All of this being said, I think we should be looking out for whether we see some changes in our children. Are they waking up at night with nightmares? You know, they're not sleeping through the night if they used to. Mm-hmm. Changes in their appetite. Sometimes children, we need to recognize that children may not always be willing to discuss how they feel. They may not always understand what they're feeling. And worse yet, they may not even be aware of how to accurately express how they're feeling. So we need to be very observant during this time about the changes emotionally or physically, behaviorally, that we are seeing among our children.
Crystal J, as a parent, I'm sure you want to join the discussion right now.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, while John is talking about his 10-month-old, I'm thinking of my 7-year-old. And, you know, she's generally a very calm, gentle person, and I'm seeing that coming out a lot more. Well, yes, I'm in media, but I'm working from home, which is different to John. I'm not on air right now. But I definitely see that calmness in her more, and, you know, just the desire to be around mommy and daddy even more. But I'm also thinking of two girls I saw when I, you know, was in the parking lot at the supermarket, and their hair looked very unkempt. And, you know, when I think of how parents are taking care or not taking care of their children in this time, I'm wondering maybe if Dr. Ann Steinclark can, you know, just refer to it. How about keeping the children looking tidy, even though they're at home? Does it affect them if they're not, you know, taken care of well, and the girl children's hair is not combed, not washed, and so forth? Dr. Ann?
I think generally, whether it's during this time or not, it's essential right. that we take good care of our children and that we spend time being aware of their basic cleanliness, hygiene, right. and things like that. Even more so during this time, I've heard a lot of people saying it, and I can agree, that we must have some level of structure in our children's life, some schedule, which should include bathing them, taking care of their hair, making sure they have right. good nutrition. All of those things are essential to how they will deal with all of the things that are going on around them, all of these changes.
Mm-hmm. I would also add that when you see a child looking so disorganized, we also, as mental health providers, look at how are the primary caregivers coping? Because maybe if you see the right. child looks disorganized and the parent looks disorganized, maybe this parent needs some support. Maybe the parent is suffering from anxiety or depression.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And okay. therefore, if unable to care for themselves, they will be, by definition of their disorder, unable to care for their child as well. But sometimes it's not quite to that degree. Sometimes persons just don't realize that even in times like this, they should maintain a routine. And it's healthy for the child and for themselves to have to get up, to have a bath, to get ready, to have meals at the usual time, to go to bed and to wake up at the usual time. But sometimes it is that the parent really is suffering or mentally ill and needs some assistance themselves.
Now, Einstein, earlier you mentioned that we don't really consider our children to be those who can be stressed out. What are some of the things that we can look for? What are some of the things that we need to be sensitive concerning our children? Because it's easy for us to say, well, she's miserable, he's being reckless or lawless. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes call it something else and never really appreciate that, hey, little Johnny might actually be a bit overwhelmed with all that's happening right now.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things that we can look for?
So I alluded to a few of them earlier, but I can be a bit more specific. Obviously, every child is different.
Right.
Similar to adults, each adult is going to deal with this very differently, deal with the changes and the uncertainty. Similarly, you can expect that children will deal with it differently. what I always say is the starting point is look at changes. Whether if you know what your child's baseline is, look for changes. So a decreased appetite, for example. So just changes in eating habits. So your child usually eats this much, and now they're not eating. They're eating half of a meal a day. That's a big change. They're having lots of headaches. They're wet in the bed when they haven't been doing that for some time. All of those changes, I would say, would be indicators as to whether or not our child is feeling or experiencing a significant level of stress as a result. There are other things as well. You find your child becoming more angry and crying, and this is for teenagers and younger children alike. They become a bit more clingy, or they're a bit more agitated or irritable. These are all things you're going to need to look for. And the same way we're kind of discussing this in general as it relates to mental health, I'm always very particular that we pay attention to our children, because like I said earlier, they may not be able to say, well, I feel anxious, or I feel sad about the situation. They may just notice, they may just have some changes, and we need to be very, very aware of what some of those changes are.
What about medication for children? Is this commonly used to help children go through periods where they may be having real challenges mentally? Or do you seek, first of all, to go, for example, to just counseling where you can talk with that child, you can try to move the child into an environment that may be more conducive? Tell me.
We would want to start with those psychological and social interventions first, absolutely. So, for instance, a child who's been through a trauma of any sort, and this is a traumatic time, can appear, for instance, to have ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity, because they're just so restless, and they can't tell you that this restlessness is anxiety or agitation.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, when we see a child that may have gone through a stressor, you do not jump first to medication. We try to address all the psychosocial issues. Which isn't to say that there isn't medication suitable for children, but it's not the first choice, because medication cannot fix a broken home, or I keep getting back to the unemployment issue in the family, or domestic violence. You know, those things aren't fixed with a pill. Those things need to be addressed head on, first of all.
What about now, when there are children at home doing school online? Obviously a different environment, they're missing their friends. Well, in my case, my child is an only child. You know, there's no other child to play with. What can a parent do to help a child in, you know, this time of online schooling?
Well, some of the things that parents can do, we start with what Ms. Clark said. Mrs. Clark said, with setting a routine and modeling calming behavior. Show your child how to respond in difficult circumstances. Show them that you as the adult are managing the situation to the best of your ability, so that they can develop a sense of hope for the future, that they don't feel as if, you know, the world is coming to an end and that sort of thing. Model for them how to deal with difficult emotions, because as adults we also will be distressed and feel angry and feel frustrated and have to juggle too many things at once. So this is actually a great time for us as the adults to show our next generation things like conflict resolution and how to self-soothe and how to deal with life when there's a lot of uncertainty or a lot of changes. And once we can start that kind of conversation, and then also allow the child to express what is going on. They may not say, yes, I'm angry, or they may say, yes, I'm angry, or I'm sad, or I'm frustrated. But allow them to express what is going on in their hearts, their minds, their feelings, so that you as a parent can then navigate from their point of view and have them tell you what things are upsetting them. Because sometimes it's not the thing that's upsetting the parent. We as parents are going to be thinking of the bills or the job, or the fact that the manager wants you to submit this thing by tomorrow. And the child's worry is, I want you to come and play with me right now. You never seem to have time. Those things. So get them to tell you what are the challenges they are having.
And then it will be very important that we consider how we respond to that conversation. So to sit with your child and to listen is exceptional and an exceptional place to start. But the way that you respond after they've spoken is going to be super important. Reassurance, encouragement, helping them to realize that maybe mommy and daddy are also feeling a little bit scared, but understanding that, you know, we can do this together as a family, things have changed, and that will instill with them in them some level of empowerment and confidence so that they now are starting to be equipped with the tools that they need to start to cope on their own.
So communication is definitely important, and that level of support where, you know, I'm still here, even though I'm working from home and I'm really busy, yes, I will help you with your homework. I'll still help you with your homework, even though you're still doing school right there and I'm here. I'll still help you. I'll still go through with you.
In the schedule that you and the routine that you establish, I would suggest that it is clear to everyone involved what the schedule is, what kind of activities you have planned for the day, whether the parent is at home working, the child has school, all those things. But along with that, you should consider scheduling things like just quality time, having fun together.
Right. I was just about to ask, actually, regarding we're home, and even though many of our children, be it teenagers or kids, have many options of things they can do, I was wondering how important is it to actually schedule time for fun as a family? And just before you answer that question, 256-5433, this is State of Mind on VOB 92.9, also Live 97.5 FM. You can send your WhatsApps into 256-5433. Larry, what's the number here you can call for
434-1790, 434-1791. And you can call and pose the question to our team here.
Yes. So you just mentioned schedule. How important is fun? Mm-hmm. How important is play in managing stress and our mental health for our children?
There's when it comes down to coping, especially for children, it's about building a basic sense of security for them in the family setting. If we're going to be supporting our children in coping, I would say anything that helps to provide a safe, secure home where they feel like they can depend on others. And for children, play is important. And you help to, and Dr. Humphrey spoke about modeling behaviors, modeling a sense of calm. And even in the midst of all the chaos, being able to step aside from working from home, because your children are now seeing you as you stress about work at home if you're working from home.
Right.
Stepping away from that and saying, hey, look, we can still have lots of fun during this time.
Right.
I mean, I always tell parents that 20 minutes for a child, 20 minutes for you, it can sometimes feel like 2 hours for your child. So just to put aside that time and to listen to what your child needs. Your child, I have a nephew, and when he's spending time with me, he would say, Auntie, let's play hide and seek. And sometimes I'm like, oh, not now. But then I remember that's exceptionally important to him, for him to feel safe, secure, and to have fun and to cope and feel a sense of calm.
Okay, we have a caller who wants to come in and pose a question. So let's welcome that caller right now. This is State of Mind. Good evening.
Good evening. I have one question, but before you get any question, I'll make a straight comment. Children are like fingerprints. Okay? It's said that all fingerprints in the world are different. They sometimes wonder how. But most children are different. And I find that a lot of people underestimate children. I have said this so often. They tend to feel like they don't always understand.
True.
Right? And I feel one of the most important things in parenting is being able to communicate with the child.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the most important things. When they ask questions, rather than giving them silly answers, answer them. I have a granddaughter. Before she was 1 month old, they were taking pictures of her and her crib. They were using the flash, and I have the pictures to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to cover her eyes from the flash. You know, and then you will hear the comments saying they don't know what they're doing. And as I was telling Larry the other day, children test you. Then you're going to discipline a child. Tell them for what reason you're disciplining them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in beating children. I don't believe in it. You see, people have confused fear and respect for years. You have to earn a person's respect, whether a child or an adult. You drive fear into people, and nobody loves anything that they fear.
All right. Your question.
One day, they are going to rebel. Now, my question, if I come on this program and I say, my God, have children, how will y'all react?
If you say what?
If I had come on this program and I had made the statement that my God have kids, my God have children.
Okay.
Uh-huh. How would you react? I wonder why we always refer to children as kids.
Well done. Our time is moving quickly, so I want to thank you for that contribution.
I'd like to comment on the first thing he said when he mentioned that children are like fingerprints. One thing we haven't brought up so far would be the parents of multiple children.
Right.
So, for instance, I have two sons, and they are very different. And in terms of even play or discipline, I have to tailor what I'm doing or saying based on the child. So, for instance, when it comes to enjoyment or having fun, one child likes me to sit with him and play with him, and he likes to play Uno. Another one wants a lot more hugs. If you can give him a hug and a kiss, he's good for the rest of the day. One child, if I need to discipline him, I can look at him sternly. The other one, I have to take away an item or a privilege or whatever the case may be. So very much we need to look at our individual children. And it also means that when one particular child is distressed, because they are speaking about mental health and COVID, they won't show it in the same way. One child, we see the child that acts out easily, but your child may be withdrawn and not talking much, and they're in their quiet corner. And if you're not attentive as a parent and say, but wait, why is this child drawing up? He's usually or she's usually more interactive, because you're so caught up in your own worries. You may miss being able to intervene with that child who's quiet and has drawn into themselves. But you definitely don't miss the child who's acting out. The issue in that case may be very harsh punishment.
Ladies, our time is quickly going by. We have another 3 minutes left before we wrap up. I'd like to find out, what is the difference? How do you help parents identify children who have challenges as opposed to just a child who is being naughty?
What I would say is that you should be aware of when certain things are persistent. That's a really difficult one, because children are expected to challenge our rules and to be defiant from time to time. When we're seeing those behaviors being persistent across, regardless of the individual with whom they're interacting, regardless of the situation with which they find themselves, whether it's at a grandparent's house, at home, at school, with the teacher, when we see that level of persistence, whether it is anxiety, whether they're very withdrawn and sad, whether they're acting out and behaving, what we will say, behaving badly, that's when we should consider seeking help.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that John has to run back to life. I'm going to have a final word from all three of you ladies. Maybe I can start here with Crystal J. Your final thoughts.
Well, one thing that was coming to me just now when I think Dr. June was speaking, children learn what they live and they live what they learn. And it's important for us as adults to model the correct behavior so that they can know how to respond in a situation. And little things, we say little things, but as you said, it might be important to them. I mean, even modeling a clean home or keeping yourself tidy even though you're home, those simple things, I think, can go a long way in helping a child at this time.
Good. Einstein?
Hey, I'd say right now I think you should be aware that your child knows that there's changes, and you should try to keep your child as informed as possible in an age-appropriate way about any anticipated changes. Communicate with your child and talk to them about anything they're seeing or hearing on the news, anything they've overheard. Don't ignore them. Speak with them.
Dr. June Price Humphrey.
Yes, and I would also say following what Mrs. Clark said, to involve them in the changes in the household so that they can have a sense of mastery as well, not being passive in what's going on. Because if you have the sense that you can make a contribution, you're a little less likely to feel like the world is spiraling out of control. So involve them in whether it's meal planning, in terms of planning the time to have a family family fun together, whether it is having them make a schedule for you who's working from home, and they will know, yes, I made this schedule. Mommy is working from 9 till 11, and I will not interrupt her during that time. So involve them, and that will also aid in their sense of feeling as though they can cope with this stressful time.
Thank you so very much, Dr. June Price-Humphrey, consultant psychiatrist, and Einstein Clark, our psychologist, along with our own Crystal J. Paul and John Yard. We thank you so very much for being with us here on State of Mind, and we look forward to welcoming you again next time.
Thank you.